It's a new day. It's a new day. God is bringing us into a new season. A new season. But in order to step into that new season, we have to be freed of some old things. Some of us have had some deep wounds. We have had, all of us, some hurt, some pain. And so we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for some people to make it right with us. But I can tell you that the key is not for someone to make it right with us, it is for us to let go. We need to be freed of the past completely today, because we need to know where we have kept those wounds, those hurts, those pains. We've kept them in our hearts. David asked God, restore my soul. You see, life can bruise us. And where does it rest? It rests in the realm of our soul. And so we're going to ask God today to restore our fragmented souls. But first, we need to get to the root of the problem. What's the root of the problem? It's called an offense. You get that clear? Offense. Now, when we do our research, the word in Greek for offense is skandalon. And skandalon really means the little bait or trap that you translated, the little bait or trap, the cheese, the nice juicy part that you would set. You know when you have your rat trap and you put the cheese in there and it looks so good to the rat and he will go for the cheese and he will get trapped. And that's exactly how an offense is. You see, we will all become offended. The word of God says offenses will come. But now we have to mature. And your spiritual maturity is actually measured by how quickly you forgive. All right? We will have conflict in all relationships. Now listen, we have to deal with this matter. We have people in church not speaking to each other. And they say, oh, we're not keeping malice. We have people who move away from churches. Why? Because they're offended. We have people who say, I'm loving them from a distance. I don't want to get too close. Why? Because of an offense. We need to understand that in every relationship, we are going to have conflict. Do you agree? And so we have to know now, what does God say? What does God say? He outlines it clearly in his word how we need to deal with conflict. The spirit of Christ is a spirit of reconciliation. We must reconcile. Now, we're going to turn to Matthew 18, 15 to 17. God is calling us into a higher love standard. We have got to continue in agape love. And if we truly love the way God said, we have got to love each other unconditionally. We've got to say, listen, if so-and-so offends me, I'm still going to love them. Do you know that God is calling us into the ministry where there are some people who are going to hurt us and we're going to have to pray them in place, into place in the kingdom? That's what God is calling us to do in this season. There are many people who are going to come. They're not going to, I'm going to get to this thing about offenses. When I counsel people, do you know that what is offensive to one person, it just rolls like water on a duck's back to another person? So it cannot be that we maintain our Christian walk or we do things based on how we are offended. We have to do what God says. We agree? Matthew 18:15 says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." It's so important. Alone. "And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen or heathen man and a publican." You see, we are quick to go through the steps of the two or three. The word says you need to work it out one with another. One with another. You see, we deal with conflict two ways most of the time. Number one, we bury it. We deny it. We say, well, it never really hurt me, you know. Never really. It never really bothered me. Because, you see, we're Christians and we're not supposed to be bothered by certain things. So we bury it. Right? We don't face it. We don't deal with it. We get into denial. And the next way we have of dealing with it is most common. We go to Pastor Rob, or we go to Pastor Mike, and we say, you know, so-and-so did that to me. And everybody's silent. That's how we deal with it. And we go to Nina, and we complain. And then before you know it, not only is Nina involved, but Pastor Rob is involved, and my friend here is involved, and Gabrielle is involved. And then before you know it, somebody offended one person, and then all three people, they are not talking to somebody else. You see, we have got to get rid of this cancer of unforgiveness in our churches and in our homes. It has to go. When you think of it, the divorce rate escalates more than the rate in the world, in the church. Why? Because people are offended. I've seen it happen since I came. I've seen people move away from ministries and churches because they're offended. We've got to grow up now. And we've got to face the truth. You see, if we really loved the way God said, those things couldn't affect our love relationship with the other person. I wish I could have brought you a message that was all prophetic and really just nice, and you know, but this message is to bring you into a deeper level with God. All right? We'll have conflict. All right? Let us be mindful of what God says we should do. All right? I heard the Lord saying clearly that some of you must stop waiting for the other person to apologize. Free yourself. And you see, when you begin to forgive, then God can do the healing work. But he doesn't start doing the healing work until we let go. All right. Now, we're going to read some other verses. Matthew 6:12. A lot of us may say the Our Father prayer. Many of us know it by heart. But this is how Christ said we should pray. Matthew 6, verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And so if we don't forgive, then we will not be forgiven. Many people I counsel with a spirit of unforgiveness, they say, "No, I have no unforgiveness. I have forgiven." But I'm going to take you into another level today, because we're going to get to the stage of saying, love keeps no record of wrongs. The next verse now, Matthew chapter 6, same chapter, verses 14 and 15. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We are not necessarily a people who want to harm the person who hurt us. But hear what? We keep the record of the wrong. We begin to label people, and then we're not free because we can't pray for them freely. We can't bless them. We can't do what God wants to do. We can't be unified if there's a root of an offense there with somebody else. He removes. You see, part of forgiving is we have to forget. Most people will say, I forgive, but I'm not going to forget. But if you have not forgotten, you have not forgiven. You see, we have to do what God says. He says, what does he do? With our sins, he casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. God says that he removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And the next scripture that I'll keep bringing back to you, love keeps no record of wrongs. It's very difficult, you know. And even as I was preparing this message, the Lord reminded me, somebody came into my house and they stole something. And I knew it was them. And when I told my children, I said, no, mommy, don't say that. And shortly after, the evidence was clear because he actually went and he stole from his mom and did some other things. And so it was evident he was the one that stole the thing. And so every time I see him, I'm thinking, thief. Jamaican would say, thief. See the thief there? Thief. I need a bottle of water, please. Thief. But, so in other words, what have I done? I've labeled him. And guess what? I'm not operating in agape love. Because I cannot pray for him and bless him the way God wants me to. We need to get rid of those labels today. We need to get rid of those roots today. We need to really grow up and be a people of agape love. All right. You see, we tend to be a people who will ask for justice. But when you really love the way God says, you ask for mercy. Mercy. That's what the great prophets of old did. That's what Moses did. That's what Abraham did. They asked for mercy. That's what Daniel did. Even before he started praying, he repented on behalf of the nation. Listen, Abraham even went to God with a nation like Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, God, can you not destroy the land? That's what we need to do in this season. And God said, if there are even, how much? 10 righteous. I will not. We have got to stand in the gap for some people who do not deserve it in this season. That's what agape love does. I need a strong man to help me this morning. Mark, can you come up here, please? I'm going to do a demonstration. Mm-hmm. All right, good. Good. Can you come for me, please? And I'm going to ask you to help me now. I need all of you to lend me your Bibles. And each of you are going to come one at a time, and you're going to put them in Mark's hands. And the Bible will represent an offense. All right? Come, put out your hand. And so, but then again, how are we going to get them back? But we're going to get them back. We're going to make some time to get them back. All right? This is how an offense is. It goes there, and you hold it, and you keep it. All right? Right. And you keep it. And you keep it. All right, we're going to stop now. All right? Right. All right. And I want you to try and walk around now, Mark. Right. It's with great difficulty. And that is what an offense does to us when we don't let it go. It becomes unnecessary baggage. We were waiting now. We want the other person to make it right. We want them to change. We want them to do the right thing. God, why won't you heal me? Why won't you get rid of this thing? Why won't you take it out of me, God? You need to forgive. You need to let it go. And this is the stance of some of us. We remember. We walk around. We replay it. I'm a victim. I was rejected. I was raped. I was molested. This happened to me. I'm a victim. Why? Because of the offense. Something was done to me, but we need to let it go today. This very moment, we need to let it go. Give it to God. Sometimes we can't just let it go. So we have to ask God, can you help me, God? Can you help me, God? Free me of this thing as I forgive. A key thing to do, because sometimes it's not easy, is you need to open your mouth and audibly begin to bless that person. And I guarantee you, the forgiveness and the freeing of your heart will begin. All right, you can come for your Bibles now. Thank you all. Mine. Thank you. All right. You see, there's something else that happens to when we are offended. Because when we are offended, what do? Now we begin to measure other people by that offense. If we're not freed of it, what do? We say, boy, can't trust anybody, you know. I'm not going to love another man again. I'm not going to love another woman again. And we speak those word curses over ourselves. Right? We need to, God wants to set us free today. And pretty soon, somebody hurt us. And, you know, our very mother or father. And we begin to look at women and we never trust them because of what was done to us. Really, we need to free ourselves today. We can't protect ourselves. And if we really have agape love, do you know that it makes us vulnerable? As I said before, agape love means that there are some people who hurt us, that they do the inexcusable sin, and we still have to pray for them and bless them. That's what the ministry of Christ is about. It's not about ministering to good people. It's about ministering to the lost. And God is going to open these doors and some people are going to come in. They're going to hurt us. They're going to cause us pain. But we're going to stand with them until we see the glory of the Lord shining in their lives. In the name of Jesus. All right. Now, quick check if you have not forgiven. When you remember someone or an incident, does it hurt you or anger you all over again? When you think of that situation, does it hurt you still? The next point, number two. Are you able to bless that person and pray for them? Number three. Do you see that person the way God sees them, or have you labeled them by the offense? Remember, I was giving the example earlier. It's the easiest thing, you know. You see that one there, that one just hurt me with the anger. They're an angry person. them is a thief, you know, or whatever. It's easy. It's our human nature. Every time we see the person, we remember. But we've got to ask God to purge it from our subconscious and semi-conscious memories too. And that's what he'll do when he heals you. All right? When dealing with an individual that hurt you, does every little thing they do make you really upset or angry? Then it may be that just like how you have a cut and you have the scab on the cut and the cut, it doesn't heal because the scab grows, you know, but you still need to be easy with it because there's something underneath, all right? And that's how it is. If you're not healed of that offense, it will fester. It will begin to spring mucus. Pretty soon, it will alienate you so that you're alone and you're not functioning in whole relationships. So perhaps, people, if you see this pattern happening in your relationships, it's not the other people's fault. You need to look within yourself. Amen? Amen. All right. I must tell you, though, for some, we may never be able to resolve face-to-face with our conflict. There are some instances. Person may have died or whatever it is. So it really indicates that your freedom is not based on what somebody else does. Right? It all depends on your forgiving. And what God wants you to do is to take everything to him. He is the only healer. He is the only balm in Gilead. He is the only one that can restore your soul. All right. We will no longer be held captive to the past. We release ourselves this morning. We're going to pray about it this morning. And if there's anybody who wants help, you need to come to the altar. There was one scripture I had to read to you. It's quite long, but let's read it. It's in Matthew chapter 18 also. As of verse 23. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought, saying, Have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that had been done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? For his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That really is like us in the kingdom, you know. Think of it. God forgave us, though we did not deserve it. It's called grace. We didn't earn our place in the kingdom. because we were good. We are there because God loved us with an unchanging agape love. And even when we think of our Christian walk, when I look back at what God brought me from and the work he did in me, he showed me mercy. He showed me grace. And so it is the same mercy and grace we need to show to others. Because there are some things that I did yesterday, last year, last week, that God moved and he changed in me. Because he's a faithful God. And he said he will complete the work he started in us. We cannot be a people that are quick to cut off and cast aside the people who offend us. We have got to have agape love. Even now, do you know that many cancers, the world is saying it. The world is saying that many of the cancers they're caused by a root of unforgiveness. We have got to ask God daily, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Move whatever it is that would offend me. Move whatever it is that would make me not be able to pray and bless my brother or sister effectively. And if you want the anointing, you've got to be on the cross and say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While they scourge you, that's what they did to Christ. Do you know what he bore for you and I? They scourged him. Could you bear the crown of thorns on your head? He didn't deserve it. And so that's what will happen to us. Some people will scourge us, but we have got to love them. We have got to not only love them, but we have got to bless them and restore them in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm just going to read you one last scripture. Because the world says we must hate our enemies. But God says we have got to love them and bless them. And so we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. That's the last scripture. It says, as of verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Excuse me. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no one evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, said the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall leap coals of fire unto his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. And that's the message for today. Now we're going to, where's Sarah? My beloved Sarah. Can you come and sing a song? And I'm going to ask you to just stand and we sing that song together. And you're going to reach deep unto the Lord and ask him to clean whatever it is, the hurts, the pains, the wound. And if you want to come to the altar because you need ministry concerning that matter, there's somebody who has hurt you and that wound is still there and you need help this morning to pray, to be healed, to be freed of that thing, I want you to come to the altar. and we'll pray for you this morning. But we may be here long for ministry, so whoever would like to leave at this point, Pastor Rob, is that right? You can go, right? But I'm going to want you people who want to be freed totally today of the old thing, the old pain, the old world. You're stepping into a new thing this morning, and we're going to walk in freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen.